Okay, so have you ever looked up at a mountain and felt that, like that kind of that feeling of like, whoa, that's kind of what a fair recovery can feel like.
I totally get that.
Daunting, right?
Very daunting, very.
There are moments where you think, am I gonna slip? You know, am I gonna make it to the top? But also, potentially, there's that breathtaking view from the summit. And just like with mountain climbing, having that map, having a guide can make the whole thing a lot less terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. A fair recovery, just like climbing that mountain. It can feel impossible when you're just like overwhelmed with emotion. But understanding like the terrain, the potential pitfalls, that could be so empowering.
And that's exactly what we're doing today. We're going deep into this whole world of a fair recovery. We have research, we've got insights from therapists, really fascinating stuff. But before we strap on our metaphorical hiking boots, let's make sure we're on the same page here.
Yeah, let's define our terms. I mean, a fair recovery isn't just about like moving on from the betrayal. It's about two people actively rebuilding their relationship after infidelity.
And that's got to be a team effort, right? It's not just the person who was cheated on doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, that's a really common misconception, actually. It takes work and commitment and vulnerability from both partners. Think of it less like patching up an old sweater and more like rebuilding a house after a fire. It's foundational work, you know, like examining every beam and making sure that the structure is sound.
Okay, that makes total sense. So let's picture this. The affair comes to light. It's like an earthquake. Everything's suddenly unstable. What are those initial emotional tremors that people experience?
Oh, you've got it. I mean, the betrayed partner is often hit with shock and anger and hurt and, of course, betrayal. And you know, that feeling of betrayal can really shake your sense of self-esteem and make you question your own judgment. It's like having the rug pulled out from under you emotionally.
And it's so tough because, you know, so much of how we build our relationships is on this idea of trust. And when that crumbles, it's just totally disorienting.
And we can't forget about the partner who is unfaithful. They are often grappling with intense guilt and shame, fear of losing the relationship. And, you know, and they may be wrestling with their own motivations, trying to figure out, like, why did I do this?
Why did I do what I did?
Yeah.
It sounds incredibly messy.
It is.
Like everyone's emotions are all tangled up together. No
Yeah.
wonder so many couples seek professional help at this point. It's
Yeah.
like needing a guide, a Shupa, who's familiar with these treacherous emotional landscapes.
That's a great analogy. A therapist can offer that safe, neutral space where both partners can kind of untangle those emotions and start communicating effectively. And they provide strategies and tools to navigate each stage of recovery, which, as you know, can be really complex.
So let's talk about those stages. You mentioned earlier that there's kind of a structure to this whole recovery process, like base camps along the climb. Can you kind of break those down for us a little?
Absolutely. Experts have identified like five key stages. The first, and often the one that feels the most intense, is discovery and disclosure. This is when the affair comes to light. Raw honesty is absolutely crucial here.
So it's like that moment where you're at the base of the mountain and you're staring up at the peak and you're like, whoa, okay. But you can't turn back now. You need to have both partners fully acknowledging what happened and committing to that climb ahead.
And that honesty isn't just about confessing all the details of the affair. It's about starting to build a foundation of transparency and accountability. Now, once that initial shock has passed, we move into the next base camp, grief and loss.
This is where it gets interesting. Because, you know, most people would probably understand that the betrayed partner is going to experience grief. But you're saying both partners grieve.
Absolutely. But they grieve different things. Think of it like this. The betrayed partner grieves the loss of the known relationship, the version that they believed in, while the unfaithful partner might grieve the loss of their idealized self, the person that they thought they were or wanted to be.
So it's not like a competition of who hurts more. It's just acknowledging that both partners are experiencing this profound sense of loss. Okay, so that leads us to the next base camp, right? What comes after grief?
Stage three, understanding and insight. This is where you start asking those tougher questions. You know, like, why did this happen? What were the contributing factors? It's about moving from that initial shock and pain to a place of deeper understanding.
So you've acknowledged the affair.
Right.
You've grieved what was lost.
Yep.
Now you're trying to make sense of it all.
Exactly.
Almost like examining the soil conditions before you rebuild that house.
Precisely. It's about taking responsibility.
All right.
Understanding the dynamics that might have contributed to the infidelity, both as individuals and as a couple.
Okay.
But remember, this stage isn't about placing blame.
Right.
It's about understanding.
And that understanding, is that kind of a prerequisite for rebuilding trust?
Yeah.
Because that seems like a pretty daunting peak to climb after all this.
Yeah, it's definitely the most challenging ascent.
Right.
And that's stage four, rebuilding trust. It's fragile. Mm-hmm. It's gradual.
Yeah.
One shaky step at a time. It's like learning to walk again after an injury.
Yeah.
You might stumble. You might feel unsteady.
Right.
But with each step, you gain a bit more confidence.
So what are those first steps? Like, what does rebuilding trust actually look like in the day-to-day? It's about both partners being radically open and honest, setting clear boundaries, and sticking to them.
Right.
You prove trustworthiness with actions, not just words.
Yeah.
It's about showing up consistently, making choices that reflect your commitment to the relationship.
I'm sensing that this stage is all about patience and forgiveness and a whole lot of hard work.
It is.
It's not a quick fix. It's an ongoing process.
You're right. And that's where support comes in.
Yeah.
Remember, you're not climbing this mountain alone.
Right.
And that leads us to our final base camp.
Okay.
The summit, if you will.
Okay.
Reconciliation and renewal.
Ah, the view from the top.
Yeah.
But we got to be real here. Reaching the stage isn't guaranteed for every couple, right?
Of course not. It's the aspirational goal.
Yeah.
But sometimes the healthier path is to descend separately.
Right.
However, for couples who reach this final stage, it's about taking all the lessons learned, the pain endured, and using it to build something even stronger, something renewed.
So it's not just about patching things up. It's about creating something new, something even more beautiful because it's been through the fire.
Yeah.
And it's emerged stronger.
Exactly. It might involve redefining your commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Creating new rituals, or simply finding joy and connection in everyday moments. It's about acknowledging the past,
right,
but choosing to focus on building a future together.
So we've mapped out the five key base camps of affair recovery,
mm-hmm.
but it's important to remember this isn't a stroll in the park, is it?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
This is a challenging climb full of unexpected twists and turns.
Yeah.
There will be moments of doubt and setbacks
and
intense emotions along the way.
Yeah, and that's why having the right gear, the right support is so important. And we'll talk all about that in part two of our deep dive.
Absolutely. So welcome back to our deep dive into affair recovery.
All right, so we've got our map. We kind of understand the terrain.
Right.
Let's talk gear. What kind of support is essential for navigating this whole journey?
Well, we talked about therapists being like Sherpas.
Right.
Those expert guides who know the treacherous path.
Right.
And individual or couples therapy provides that safe space to unpack those emotions.
Yeah.
Develop coping mechanisms and learn those all-important communication skills.
Yeah, because communication after an affair can feel like navigating a minefield.
Oh, it is.
One wrong word.
Oh, yeah.
And boom.
Back to square one.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why having that neutral experience facilitator can be so valuable. Mm. They can help you learn to communicate your needs, your hurt, your fears.
Yeah.
Without resorting to blame or defensiveness.
So it's like they're teaching you a new language, one where honesty and vulnerability are the keys to unlocking that deeper connection.
Exactly. And therapy isn't the only form of support.
Right.
Friends and family can play a really crucial role too.
Yeah.
But, and this is important.
Yeah.
They need to be the right kind of support system.
Yeah. Because sometimes well-meaning loved ones can actually end up adding fuel to the fire.
Yes.
You know, taking sides, offering unsolicited advice that can really hinder the healing process.
Absolutely. It's crucial to set boundaries with your support network.
Yeah.
Make it clear that you need understanding, not judgment.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means being selective about who you even share your journey with.
So it's about building a circle of support
mm-hmm.
that feels safe, empowering,
right,
and focused on the couple's healing.
Exactly.
Not on fueling any drama.
Exactly. Now, beyond therapy and your chosen support network. There are other essential tools for this climb.
Yeah.
One of the most powerful and often the most challenging is forgiveness.
Ooh, that's a big one.
It is.
And I know a lot of listeners might be bristling at that word because forgiveness, especially after an affair, doesn't feel natural, does it?
It rarely does. Exactly. It takes time, it takes work, and it takes a deep commitment to healing. And it's important to clarify what forgiveness actually means in this context.
Because it's not about condoning the affair, is it?
Absolutely not.
Or sweeping it under the rug and pretending it didn't happen.
No. Forgiveness is about releasing the grip that anger and resentment have on you.
Yeah.
It's about choosing to move forward without being burdened by the past.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm. But how do you actually get there?
Yeah.
How do you move from that white hot rage to a place of forgiveness?
There are different models of forgiveness.
Yeah.
But they all involve a process of acknowledging the pain, processing the emotions, and ultimately choosing to let go of that negativity that's holding you hostage.
So it's like you're gradually loosening the straps on that heavy backpack you've been carrying that's filled with all that hurt and anger.
Right.
It might take time. You might need to stop and rest along the way.
Right.
But eventually you're able to set it down and move forward more freely.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And remember, forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting.
Right.
It doesn't mean minimizing the betrayal.
Yeah.
It simply means choosing to focus your energy on healing and moving forward.
And I imagine professional help can be really valuable in navigating that whole process.
Oh, for sure.
Because forgiveness can feel so overwhelming, like an impossible peak to climb on your own.
You're absolutely right. A therapist can help you understand those complex emotions, develop coping mechanisms, and guide you towards a place of forgiveness that feels authentic and empowering.
Okay, so we've got therapy, we've got our supportive friends and family, we're working on forgiveness.
Yep.
What other essential tools do we need in our recovery backpack?
Boundaries. Setting healthy boundaries is crucial for rebuilding trust.
Okay.
And creating a sense of safety within the relationship.
I can see how that's important, but what does that look like in practice?
It's about defining clear expectations for behavior, communication, and even how you spend your time.
Yeah.
It's about saying, this is what I need to feel safe, respected, and loved.
So it's like drawing a map of that new landscape you're creating together, marking out those safe zones, those areas where each partner feels secure and heard.
Exactly. And boundaries aren't just about protecting yourself.
Okay.
They're also about respecting your partner's needs.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street. And both partners need to feel comfortable expressing and upholding those boundaries.
It sounds like establishing those boundaries is key to creating that new foundation of trust, that informed trust we talked about earlier.
You're right. Remember, informed trust isn't blind faith.
Yeah.
It's trust that's built on experience.
Yeah.
On seeing your partner consistently make choices that align with their words.
So it's less about assuming your partner won't hurt you.
Right.
And more about knowing that even if they make a mistake, they'll be honest. They'll take responsibility and they'll work to repair the damage.
Exactly. And that brings us to another crucial piece of equipment.
Okay.
Self-care.
Because it's so easy to get caught up.
Oh, it is.
In the drama, the emotional roller coaster of affair recovery.
Right.
That you kind of neglect your own well-being.
It happens all the time. People think self-care is selfish.
Yeah.
Especially when they're trying to save a relationship.
Right.
But it's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you show up for your partner for the difficult work of recovery if you're running on empty?
Okay. I'm starting to see this self-care thing less as a luxury and more like essential survival gear.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Taking care of your physical, emotional, and spiritual needs is non-negotiable.
Okay.
It gives you the strength, the resilience to face the challenges of rebuilding your relationship.
So what does that look like? Are we talking bubble baths and spa days?
Yeah.
Or is there more to it than that?
It's about anything that nourishes you.
Okay.
That helps you feel grounded and centered.
Yeah.
Could be exercise, spending time in nature, connecting with friends, pursuing a creative hobby, or simply taking some quiet time for yourself.
It's about remembering that you are a valuable individual worthy of care and attention, regardless of what's happening in your relationship.
Exactly. And that self-awareness,
yeah,
that sense of personal worth,
yeah,
is actually crucial for building a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's like strengthening your own base camp before attempting the climb together.
So we've got our therapist, our supportive friends and family.
Right.
We're packing forgiveness, boundaries, and self-care into our backpacks.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we need before we set off on this journey?
There's one more element we can't forget.
Okay.
Time.
Ah, right, time. The one thing we can't control.
Yeah.
And the one thing everyone wants to rush when they're hurting.
Right. But healing takes time. It's a gradual process full of twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
There will be setbacks, moments of doubt.
Right.
Times when you want to throw that backpack down and just give up.
It's like those moments on the climb when the peak seems miles away.
Yeah.
And your legs are burning.
Yeah.
And you just wonder if you'll ever make it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But just like with any challenging climb, it's about pacing yourself, taking breaks when you need them.
Right.
And trusting that with time and consistent effort,
yeah,
you'll eventually reach your destination.
And speaking of the destination, we've talked a lot about the individual journeys.
Right.
Of the betrayed and the unfaithful partners.
Hmm.
But what about the relationship itself?
Yeah.
How does that heal and evolve after an affair?
Right.
That seems like the ultimate test of whether this climb was worth it.
You're so right. It is easy to get focused on, like, you know, the individual.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the relationship itself needs to transform.
Right.
Otherwise, what's the point? Exactly. It's like reaching the summit together, but realizing you need to build a new kind of shelter.
Yeah.
One that can withstand future storms.
Okay, so let's talk blueprints. What are some tangible ways that a relationship can rebuild and actually become stronger after an affair?
One of the most noticeable changes is in the way couples communicate.
Okay.
It's not just about, like, talking more.
Yeah.
It's about communicating more effectively.
And we touched on this a little earlier, but it seems like communication is that essential rope.
It is.
You know, that keeps climbers connected, especially on that tricky terrain. What makes communication post-affair different?
Well, before the affair, a lot of couples fall into patterns of, like, shutting down,
yeah,
avoiding conflict, or just not truly listening to each other.
It's like they're speaking different languages.
Yes.
But neither one bothers to learn the other's dialect.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
But in the aftermath of an affair, there's this, like, forced awareness,
yeah,
that those old ways just won't cut it anymore.
Yeah. So what does this new communication style actually look like?
It's about expressing needs and feelings directly but respectfully, learning to truly hear,
yeah,
what your partner is saying, not just waiting for your turn to talk.
Right. No, not just like, okay, got it, now it's my turn.
Right, exactly.
But it also sounds like a lot of work.
It is.
It's almost like learning a new language together.
It is, and it takes, yeah, practice. But here's the thing. This new communication style can extend beyond just the heavy conversations.
Okay.
Couples who've been through this often find themselves having more playful banter.
Okay.
More genuine curiosity about each other's day.
So it's not just about crisis management. It's about enriching that everyday connection. It's,
yeah,
like they're not just rebuilding the shelter. They're adding windows, letting in more light, more fresh air.
Exactly. Another area where we see profound change is in intimacy.
Okay.
And again, I'm not just talking about the physical aspects.
Right.
Although that's definitely part of it.
Right. Intimacy is about that deep sense of connection. Feeling truly seen and understood by your partner. And I imagine that takes a huge hit.
Yeah.
After an affair.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
But here's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
The betrayal often forces couples to confront those deeper insecurities and fears,
yeah,
around intimacy that they might have been avoiding.
It's like the affair ripped off a bandage.
Yes.
Exposing those raw, vulnerable spots.
Exactly. And that can be painful, but it also creates an opportunity for deeper healing.
Okay.
When couples face those uncomfortable truths,
yeah,
when they're honest about their needs and desires,
yeah,
they can build a new level of intimacy that's more authentic, more resilient.
So it's like they're rebuilding the foundation of intimacy with stronger materials,
mm-hmm,
acknowledging the cracks and reinforcing them with honesty and vulnerability.
Beautifully put. And this new intimacy can show up in so many ways.
Okay.
It might be more cuddling, more eye contact during conversations, just really being present with each other.
Those small moments,
yeah,
those daily deposits in the relationship bank account.
Exactly. And then, of course, there's the physical intimacy.
Yeah.
This can be one of the most challenging aspects to navigate after an affair.
I can imagine there's a lot of baggage to unpack there.
There is.
Hurt, anger, maybe even a sense of betrayal that kind of lingers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But for couples who do the work, who commit to rebuilding that trust,
yeah,
their physical intimacy can actually become more meaningful, more connected.
It's less about the act itself and more about the emotions, the vulnerability shared in those moments.
Precisely. It becomes a celebration of their love,
yeah,
their commitment to each other, and the journey they've been through together.
Okay, so we've talked about rebuilding communication, deepening intimacy.
Right.
But what about trust?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like the cornerstone of any relationship.
It is.
And after an affair, it's shattered.
Right.
How do you even begin to piece that back together?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
And it's not easy. But what we see in couples who succeed is this shift from blind trust to informed trust.
Hold on. I need you to unpack that for me. What's the difference?
So blind trust is what we often have at the beginning of a relationship.
Yeah.
It's that beautiful, naive belief that our partner would never hurt us.
It's like climbing that mountain without checking the weather forecast.
Exactly.
Just assuming it'll be sunny skies all the way to the top.
Exactly. But as we all know, mountains can throw unexpected storms your way.
Yeah, they can.
And when that blind trust gets shattered, it can be devastating.
Which is often the case after an affair.
Right. So what couples work towards is informed trust.
Okay.
This isn't about forgetting the past or minimizing the betrayal.
Right.
It's about building trust on a foundation of knowledge, understanding, and experience.
So it's like checking the weather forecast, understanding the potential risks.
Yes.
And packing the right gear accordingly.
Exactly.
You're not blindly trusting the mountain. You're respecting its power and preparing for its challenges.
Exactly. Informed trust is about choosing to trust your partner.
Okay.
Not because you're naive, right, but because you've witnessed their commitment to growth, to change, to being a better partner.
It's about acknowledging that they're human capable of mistakes.
Yes.
But also capable of learning and evolving.
Precisely. And this kind of trust takes time to build.
Yeah.
It's like that slow, steady climb one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You might slip, you might question your footing.
Right.
But with each successful step, that trust grows stronger.
So we've got communication, intimacy, trust, all these essential elements being rebuilt brick by brick.
Yeah.
But is there something more? Something that kind of ties it all together?
There is. The couples who truly thrive after an affair often experience a profound shift in perspective.
What do you mean by that?
They develop a new appreciation for their relationship.
Okay.
They realize that love isn't a static thing.
Yeah.
It's a dynamic force that requires constant nurturing attention and intentionality.
It's like they've climbed that mountain, reached the peak, and gained a whole new view of the landscape. One that reveals hidden paths and unexpected beauty.
Exactly. And they often develop a greater sense of gratitude.
Oh, wow.
Gratitude for each other's presence, for those everyday moments of connection,
right,
for the simple joys of being together.
Because when you almost lose something precious,
right,
you see it with fresh eyes.
Exactly. And this shift in perspective often leads to a deeper commitment.
Okay.
They're not staying together out of obligation.
Right.
But out of a genuine desire to be together.
Yeah.
They've chosen each other's flaws and all.
And that choice, that conscious commitment, seems like the ultimate reward for all that climbing.
Yeah.
All that hard work.
It absolutely is. Affair recovery isn't about erasing the past.
Mm.
It's about integrating it into your story, allowing it to become a source of strength, wisdom, and a testament to the enduring power of love.
Wow, that's beautiful. And I think it's such a message of hope for anyone listening who might be facing that daunting mountain of affair recovery.
Yes, it is possible to not just survive the storm, but to emerge from it stronger, wiser, and more deeply connected than ever before.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into affair recovery.
Yes.
We've explored the emotional terrain,
right,
the essential tools for healing, and that transformative power of rebuilding trust and intimacy.
Remember, while this journey is challenging,
it's
also an opportunity for profound growth.
Mm-hmm.
And a deeper, more authentic love.
And if you're feeling lost or overwhelmed, remember, you don't have to climb this mountain alone.
Right.
There's support available. There's wisdom to be gained from others who've walked this path.
Mm.
And there's always hope for a brighter future together.
So keep climbing, keep exploring, and keep believing in the power of love to heal and transform.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you found it insightful and encouraging.
Absolutely.
And remember, even the most treacherous climb can lead to breathtaking views. If you have the right map, the right gear, and most importantly, the right partner by your side.